1 John chapter 3 and also chapter 5. In light of Brother Duane's devotional, I remember back in the early 80s, I went to Honduras to visit some mission works there. And one of the mission works was on top of a mountain. There was a village there. Some of the people came from below the mountain. And there was one lady in particular in her 80s that would leave Saturday and walk all the way up that mountain to get to church. And we left Saturday afternoon, I believe it was, and got there, and no air conditioning, about 110 degrees in the shade, but those people had a good time. And we're very blessed in this country to have the conveniences that we have, but we're also very spoiled. And again, we find it very difficult many times to worship the Lord if our conveniences were taken away. So that is something to think about. We like to turn to 1 John 3, verse 22. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments. Do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And then in 1 John 5, verse 14 and 15, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Again, we've been speaking the last few weeks on the Christian life is a life of not just a life of prayer, but a life of confidence in prayer. We can confidently approach God in prayer. We've seen thus far that prayer is a matter of the heart. Therefore, in order to pray correctly, in order to pray rightly, our hearts must be right. Prayer is an approach unto God, and I think that's something we need to give a lot of thought to, that in prayer we are literally approaching God. And the Bible teaches very plainly, of course, that God is God and we're not. And when we approach him, you have to approach him a certain way. You have to approach him by faith, of course, since we can't see God. The only way you can approach God is by faith. We've seen also that we should approach God with a spirit of submissiveness. So in all prayer, we ought to have a submissive spirit. And again, the real purpose of prayer is to discover the will of God, and then we, of course, must be submissive to that. Our approach to God should be with thanksgiving, and the things for which we are to be thankful are innumerable. First thing we ought to be thankful for is that we can approach him. We ought to be thankful for the opportunity of prayer. We saw last week that prayer is an expression of our need of God. We need God. And prayer is an expression of our need of God, an expression of our need of God's provision, God's help. It's also an expression of a longing for God. In prayer, we ought to long for God. It's not just longing for whatever it is that we're petitioning God for. It should be a longing for God himself. Prayer is worship. All true prayer is worship. Again, in our worship services, we pray. And every time we pray, we must remember that prayer is an element of worship. It is a part of worship. And God should be worshiped. God should be worshiped in prayer. Now, worship is a reflection, a meditation on the majesty and the graciousness of God. You can't worship without meditating upon God. You can't worship without giving thought of who God is. And prayer is a part of worship. So when we pray, there ought to be some consideration who God is. And many times when we pray, our only consideration is what we need right then. But there ought to be a consideration of the majesty of God. There ought to be a consideration of the graciousness of God. Worship is declaring the worth of God. When we worship, we declare the worth of God. And in all prayer, there should be a declaration of the worth of God. But most of all, worship is a focus upon God. It is a focus upon the Lord. It's not a focus upon a program. It is a focus upon God. And how much of our prayer life do we really focus upon God? I believe if we were to honestly examine our prayer life, we would see that most of the focus is upon getting something from God. But worship is giving, not just getting. No, though we receive benefit from worship, but that's not the purpose of worship. The purpose of worship is not what we get. The purpose of worship is to give unto God. Worship is a reverence of God. So in all prayer, there has to be a reverence for God, which again puts us in a spirit of submissiveness. Worship is man taking his proper place before God. And so in prayer, we take our place before God. Worship is a form of praise. In worship, we praise God. And in all our prayer, our prayer should show forth the praise of God. So prayer is much more than just words. It's a spirit. It's an attitude. And in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Notice praying always with all prayer and supplication. Supplication is simply a humble request. But what we want to notice there is in the Spirit, referring to the Holy Spirit. All prayer, it is an absolute necessity. If we are going to pray according to God's will, if we are going to pray in a way that is pleasing, and again, our confidence in 1 John 3, verse 22, is if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. A lot of prayer is not interested in the will of God. A lot of prayer is only interested in what we want. It's not really an interest in the will of God or finding out the will of God. But all prayer must be in the will of God. And all prayer that is in the will of God will be answered. And we see in order to pray in the will of God, we need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit knows the will of God. And the Holy Spirit will lead us to pray according to His will. So the Holy Spirit is absolutely necessary if we are going to really pray. Notice in Ephesians 2, verse 18, for through Him we both have access, that is, both Jew and Gentile, have access, it is through Christ, that we both have access by one Spirit, referring to the Holy Spirit, unto the Father. Jesus Christ is our mediator. It's through him that we approach God, that it is based upon his merits, based upon the righteousness of Christ, that we are even allowed into the presence of God. But it is by the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit's leading, by the Holy Spirit's prodding, by the Holy Spirit's guidance and direction, that we approach God. So both the inward intention of prayer must be Spirit-produced, and the outward expression of prayer must be of the Holy Spirit as well. James chapter 4 and verse 3, James refers to praying amiss. Praying amiss, or asking amiss. That is, praying incorrectly. Asking for the wrong thing. But if we're led by the Spirit of God in our praying, we'll never ask for the wrong thing. And we will not pray in the wrong manner. So in order to pray for the right thing, we need the Spirit of God. We read in Romans chapter 8 that it's the Spirit of God that teaches us what to ask for. That you and I do not even know what we should ask for. And we really don't. We think such and such will be good for us, but you and I really are very, very poor judges of what's good for us. We're terrible judges of what's good for us. But the Holy Spirit knows, and the Holy Spirit teaches us what we should ask for. So prayer in the Spirit is prayer that is produced by the Holy Spirit. It is prayer that is directed by the Holy Spirit. It is prayer that is assisted by the Holy Spirit. It is prayer that is inspired by the Holy Spirit. And Spirit-led, this kind of praying will be just as it should be. It'll be prayer in faith. There will be power in such prayer. It'll be a praying with a right heart, because the Spirit of God convicts us of sin and shows us what we need. So prayer led by the Spirit of God is prayer with a right heart. It also produces confidence. The Spirit of God gives us confidence. The Spirit of God gives us assurance. And it's when we pray led by the Spirit of God that we have confidence in what we're asking. It gives boldness. In Hebrews 4 and verse 12, that we're to approach the throne of grace in boldness. In Holy Spirit-led and Holy Spirit-directed prayer will always be with submission. The Holy Spirit will always put us in a submissive attitude. And it will always be prayer of worship. The Spirit of God will point us to Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God will point us to the things of God. And it will always be earnest. Prayer that is of the Spirit. Again, many times our prayer is not in the Spirit. Our prayer is flesh-induced rather than Spirit-induced. Flesh-led rather than Spirit-led. But it is praying in Spirit that gives us the confidence to pray. And our whole life ought to be a life lived confidently praying. We see also prayer is to be with watching. In Luke 21, in verse 36, Jesus said, "Watch ye and pray." Watch ye and pray. And that word "watch" simply means to keep under careful or protective observation, to be on guard. When you pray, be on guard. The devil gets nervous when God's people pray in the Spirit. When the Holy Spirit leads God's people to pray, the devil is not going to sit idly by. Now, if all we're doing is saying words, the devil could care less. But when prayer is spirit-led, the devil's going to get busy. So while we're praying, we need to watch. We need to watch against the liability of temptation. The devil's going to put temptations there. Notice in Matthew 26. Matthew 26, verse 41. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. That is, you can enter into temptation while praying. So, while you're praying, watch. The spirit, that is, the spiritual man, indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And you remember when Jesus took the three to the mountain apart to pray. And they couldn't even watch with him 1 hour. The flesh is weak. And praying is hard on flesh. I mean, real praying, real spirit-led praying is hard on this flesh. And the flesh is weak. The inward part of us is willing. So we need to watch against temptation. But we also need to watch. Watch implies waiting. Also, watch and pray. That is, we ought to watch for direction from God. So many times we pray and we pray for God's direction. But then we do not wait to receive God's direction. Notice in the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2 and verse 1. He says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch and see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. Verse 2, and the Lord answered me and said. But he said, I will stand and I will wait. I will wait to see what God says. I will wait for God's answer. We get impatient. We ask for God's direction. And if he does not give us his direction right then and there, our tendency is we take the matter into our own hands. But the wise thing to do is not to act until God gives an answer. We need to learn that. And I realize that while we're waiting for the answer, many times the situation that we're in grows worse, and it appears to be getting more and more desperate, and it appears to be getting more and more urgent, and God still hasn't answered, so we better do something. No, what you need to do is just wait. Just wait until God answers. Do you realize how many problems would be eliminated in our lives, how many problems we would never face in our lives had we just waited upon God? Had we just waited instead of taking matters into our own hands. And it really comes down to a matter of faith. It takes a lot of faith to wait upon God. I mean, again, I constantly, on this regarding this subject of waiting, I constantly think of the children of Israel at the Red Sea. They got to that Red Sea. The Egyptians are getting closer and closer and closer, and God said, stand still. Stand still. The Egyptians didn't stand still. Their situation was not improving. Their situation was getting more and more grave by the moment. The Egyptians are getting closer. And I believe the Lord allowed the Egyptians to get as close as they could without grabbing hold of the Israelites. And then God said, move. We have to wait. We have to wait for the Lord's answer. So to watch is to watch against temptation, but it's also to watch for the direction of God. Don't be so foolish to ask God for direction and then don't listen to the answer and not wait for the answer. We are to watch with thanksgiving, Colossians 4 and verse 2. So prayer is a major part of our life. Our hearts cannot possibly be right with God if our prayer life is not right. You cannot possibly be close to God if your prayer life is not right. Jesus said in Luke 18 and verse 1, men ought always to pray. And that word ought implies duty. That word ought implies responsibility. It implies an obligation. In other words, it is our duty to pray. It is our responsibility to pray. We have an obligation to pray. And this is true of every single child of God. So prayer is to be a regular part of our life. Men ought always to pray. That means we must always be in a spirit where we can pray. We must always be keep ourselves in a condition where we can pray. Men ought to always pray. That word ought is a word of advice. You tell somebody, well, you ought to do such and such, what you're advising them. And the Lord is saying it's always advisable to pray. It's always advisable to go to God. It's always it doesn't matter what the situation is. It's always best, it's always advisable to go ask God. And then, of course, to wait for his answer. But we see in these words also the frequency in which we're to pray. Men ought always to pray, which, of course, speaks of the importance of prayer. Ephesians 6, verse 18, Paul said, praying always. And the word always simply means perpetually, continually. We're to continually be praying. In Romans 12 and verse 12, continuing instant or diligently in prayer. Continuing in prayer. So it's something we ought to always be doing, which tells me that the physical position is not that important. If you could only pray when you're kneeling, and you're to always pray, you're going to be on your knees a lot. If I can always pray, that tells me I don't have to kneel every time I pray. There's nothing wrong with kneeling, but I'm glad that I don't have to stop and kneel every time I'm praying. I'm glad when I'm driving a car, I can just pray. Amen. And I don't have to stop and pull over and get out and kneel. I can pray standing. I can pray lying down. I can pray sitting. I can pray always. That also means I don't have to get to a special place. I don't have to get to a church building to pray. I can pray always. So wherever I am, I can pray. So we are to pray always. We are to continue in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, we're to pray without ceasing. So prayer is so important that we're to never stop, that we're to never abandon prayer, not for any cause, not for any reason. Again, we can pray everywhere. 1 Timothy 2, verse 8, we can pray about everything. Philippians 4, verse 6. And the truth be told, we are to pray about everything. We should seek God's help. Seek God's will concerning everything. Paul wrote of perseverance in prayer there again in Ephesians 6, verse 18. To persevere implies difficulty. To persevere means to continue on in spite of difficulty, in spite of opposition. Continue. So we're to persevere, which tells me that there is some difficulty in praying. Again, our flesh doesn't like prayer. And the devil doesn't like it. There's going to be some difficulty. There's going to be some opposition, but we have to persevere. And how do we do that? Praying in the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that enables us to persevere in prayer. We read of the prayers of many saints of God throughout the Word of God. We read of Epaphras in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 12, and we read that he always labored fervently for you in prayer. What I notice there is that word laboring. Prayer is work. Prayer is a laboring. When you are praying in the Spirit, your flesh is stirred, and you have, and prayer becomes a labor, becomes a very difficult. Prayer is not easy. Prayer is very difficult. It's a very difficult thing. I mean, it's easy to just say some words, but praying is difficult, very difficult, and it's something that we're to always be doing. Again, we read a fervent prayer in James chapter 5. In verse 16, which implies a sense of urgency. It also implies a sense of passion, some vigor, and some diligence in prayer. And when we pray, there ought to be some vigor. There ought to be some diligence on our part. And it's the Spirit of God that produces these things. So you and I, as children of God, have the privilege, we have the opportunity to pray. That is, everything we face, everything that God, every position we find ourselves in, we have the opportunity and we have the privilege to go to God in prayer. Not only to go to God in prayer, but to do so with confidence, knowing that God will hear prayer, knowing that God is able to answer prayer, knowing that God is who He is, knowing that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You cannot overestimate, you cannot overstate the importance of prayer. We ought to, I believe, Jesus teaches that we ought to have a place where we can go to pray. That is a closet. Not necessarily a literal closet, but nothing wrong with having a literal closet either. But the point is, there needs to be a special place where you talk with God, where you get alone with God. And then throughout the day, you can just talk to God, wherever you might be. But there is that special place. And Jesus, we see, He went to a mountain apart to pray. Jesus had a special place of prayer. And since prayer is such a privilege, such an opportunity, we need to have a place where we can get alone, free from all interruptions. And when you pray, don't take your cell phone with you. Get alone with God. Get alone with God. Well, somebody may need me. Somebody may need to get a hold of me. You're not that important. Get alone with God and pray. And with all the busyness of our day, we have lost the ability to get along with God. We've lost that because we've been convinced that we've got to have the cell phone, we've got to be near the phone somehow. You need to find a place. I don't care if you have to wake up an hour early, whatever, before anybody else gets up, but you need to have a place where you can get alone with God. A special place, a special time. But aren't you glad that our prayer life isn't limited to that? But I believe that prepares us. That special place of prayer prepares us to pray throughout the day. It prepares us to talk with God throughout the day. So again, this is just another aspect of the Christian life. We have the opportunity, we have the privilege to pray. We can do so with great confidence. And none of us pray as we ought. None of us pray as often as we ought to. But oh, what a privilege, what an opportunity it is. Let's look to the Lord, word of prayer.